Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll-free 888-68-CRAZY. 888-68-CRAZY. And share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to NightmareNeighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what kind of person would steal an urn and why? Or was the thief not a person at all? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email us an audio file if you want to do it that way. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, this show is supported by you guys. That's what keeps us on the air. You're our extra podcast person program. Sign up to be an EPP. All you got to do is go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to become an EPP. With that, you get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 300 brand new ones every single week. Advanced episodes of the show, ad-free. You get all of that. You also get our ebook, our audiobook, and a whole bunch of extras, too, for supporting this thing and keeping it on the air, in addition to all the bonus materials. It's all there, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
Hi, and how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I suddenly have to cough when I'm talking.
So. I'm doing well, considering how, you know, everything is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you?
You know, it's this is our last time recording in this studio.
It is.
We'll be going to our new studio shortly, probably taking, there will be no break in any episodes for anybody out there because we record that far in advance, but we'll on our side probably take a week off, but you guys will never notice it, just as we get everything rebuilt. So I'm kind of ready. It's funny, like I had just kind of gotten the studio where I wanted it to be. I'd hung a clock, I'd hung my stuff, and then the next week we're like, okay, we're gonna move.
Yeah. So, you did. It was that quick.
It's like I just shouldn't unpack. That should be my thing.
No, you need to unpack, but sooner.
Yeah, just right away.
Be at home.
Be ready to go right away. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I should probably do that. Coming up on the program, I was talking in my sleep and saying crazy things.
Oh, it was so weird.
Which is so much fun. But I have a great story connected to it because I remember exactly what I was dreaming about.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds even creepier when you try to talk when you have a CPAP machine on, because I just has the one that like just goes to your nose. It's not like the full mask, but it makes it very difficult to breathe but to talk because air is being pushed through. So what you say sounds even creepier, kind of like Silence of the Lambs creepy.
That or Darth Vader's sleeping next to you.
So we'll get into that in a little bit here on the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we would love to hear them. Let's go to our first story. of the day. It says, I'm not sure if this is 100% a ghost encounter, but we've narrowed it down to one of the most likely possibilities at this point. My boyfriend and I bought a house about two blocks from the one we were renting in an older neighborhood. All the houses here date back to around the 1940s with lots of charm and history. Our house is small with our bedroom at the end of the hallway. I never told my boyfriend, but I always got this feeling of a presence after we moved in, much like that feeling of something behind you when you're in a basement. A few months after moving in, I came home first and was walking towards the bedroom and noticed something was missing from his dresser, specifically a military jewelry box that he kept various items for his uniforms and personal sentiment items. He's in the military, and a week or so prior had the jewelry box out getting his dress uniform ready for portraits. My first thought was he must have taken it with him to work just in case and left it in his car in his office. Not long after, he came home and upon walking down the hallway, noticed it was missing. Over the next few weeks, he would search the house high and low. Again, a small home to no avail. He searched work, his car, and narrowed it down to it was stolen or a ghost. He thought I was making light of everything when I said the ghost, and it annoyed him. I tell this to think someone might have broken in, but it seems weird to walk by the countless expensive electronics and grab a box. Then almost 2 months later, it got weirder. As I said, we did not move far. We did not have a lot of boxes, but we did have two small urns for his cats. He had these cats since he was in middle school. He's now in his late 20s and always kept the urns together on a low bookshelf. When we moved, he set the bookshelf up pretty much the same way in our living room with the urns next to each other. We now have two black cats, one totally black, and I got in the habit of brushing them nightly after a flea issue. I usually talk to them while I do and go on to my cat about how Aunt Misty used to be the loving one and was being brushed. Now I'm sitting on the floor in front of that bookshelf and happen to look up at the urns, missing the cats. The shelf is at eye level, and immediately I notice that the urn is gone. My boyfriend notices at the same time, and we're a little disturbed. I know for a fact that he placed both on that shelf. It's 6 months at this point, and we still cannot find this urn, despite searching every inch of our house, attic, garage, and even crawl space. I've told this story to several friends and family who are totally at a loss. Even the most skeptical are leaning towards something paranormal. No other items have gone missing to this day except these two that are still at large. Both items had sentimental value to my boyfriend, so several people have said that he is a ghost or spirit following. I'm not sure if others out there have had ghosts or are a kleptomaniac, but whatever, we have gone. It has gone for the heartstrings. I have demanded the spirit leave us alone and return our items. So far, nothing else has happened, but do still get that strange feelings of a presence.
That is odd that it would be such sentimental items that would go missing. But, you know, we hear that quite a bit, and then they end up showing up, you know, several months later. I'm wondering if these things are going to come back here, you know, in the next few months.
You're going to be at a friend's house and you're going to accidentally go into the basement for some reason, and you're going to find a shrine to yourself and candles lit, and your urn's going to be there and other items and other little trinkets from around the house that you didn't realize were missing. And you're going to find that your friend secretly worships you in their basement and they needed these items.
That's
how it's going to end.
I think it's just a spirit that knows that these things are sentimental.
Yeah.
It almost makes me wonder if it's a spirit that knows him, that has followed him for a while. It's not just a new presence since they've moved onto that block.
So you're not going with a kleptomaniac friend?
I'm not in this case.
No? Mm-mm. I could go either way, quite honestly. I could see it, you know, there's people that do that. I would be taking note of who's been in and out of your house, who was in and out of your house the first time around too. See if there's any commonalities there, and then start pointing fingers and accusing your friends.
Right.
Publicly on Facebook.
Great way to keep friends.
Don't just make a call. Do it on Facebook in the form of a meme.
I wouldn't take tips on how to keep friends from Tony. So
No, don't do that. But I do wonder. I mean, not that they have a shrine in their basement, but people are weird like that. There's some people that they take things from people's houses, and it's like, it's almost like killers with trophies, but far less dangerous.
From my knowledge of kleptomania, not that I'm a kleptomaniac, but from when I studied psychology in college, most of the time, it is insignificant items that are rarely missed.
Okay. So it's not like an urn.
Or a box of military jewelry that goes on a uniform that's definitely going to be missed. Sure. Usually it's something small and insignificant that, mm-hmm. you know, they may notice is missing, but if so, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because it's too easy to get caught if you take the big stuff.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bizarre. It's a good one. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We also have a call in this show that's coming up in a little bit from someone we haven't heard from in a very long time. It's not Richard in Chattanooga. I'm sorry to burst. And it was like, Richard in Chattanooga. I see, this is where I'm too honest of a person. If I were more of the media person that can tease shit correctly, I wouldn't have said that. I would have just left it because then people would have been hanging on longer. But it's from that era. It's from the era of Richard. And Jenny's mouthing something to me and I can't understand what she's saying. So I'll just press mute. No, but she does ask about that person in this call.
Okay.
So, and I'm actually talking to that person in like a week or two doing an interview.
The person I just mentioned?
Yeah, the person you just mentioned.
Good, because I was wondering how she was doing.
She has a book coming out. So
awesome. So, I hadn't heard from her in a while and I was worried about her.
She's talking about Cisco, by the way. We can forget.
Okay, we can say who it is.
But no, Cisco is not the person on this call that calls in. But this person asks about Cisco. But Cisco called into our show very early on and really throughout the life of it. She still rings in every now and then. But no, I'm actually talking with Cisco in, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks. We have an interview scheduled for the Grave Talks about her life and her story. So,
can I be on that one?
Yeah, sure.
Because you never let me on Grave Talks.
It's not that I don't let you on. Every time I say you don't even want to come in this room when I do an interview. Like,
usually
I have to
terrifying.
Beg you.
It's usually terrifying, and then I'm very anxious to talk to people one-on-one. But it's Cisco.
Well, you make it sound like I don't allow you in for interviews. I'm like, I beg you to come in for interviews, but you never want to be in for an interview.
I don't do well talking to people other than you.
Well, fine, but you can't blame me. That's fine.
It's more fun to blame you.
But I can't be like viewed as like I'm holding you outside of the door.
No.
I'm encouraging you to come in. And I get how that feeling is, because it took a long time for me to really get comfortable doing interviews.
It's anxiety. That's all it is. Yeah. But I feel like I know Cisco, so I would like to be on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely be on that one. Okay. It's coming up in a few weeks. So, anyway, the other caller, it is connected to a very interesting story that we had early on in the show, one that remains unexplained. We'll talk about that in just a minute. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter says, hey there, I've written in before. My story was read on the air. It was about a small town in Rowan County, Tennessee. The girl was killed, and the guy that killed her later told the police she was buried and they would not find her. It was believed she was buried under the new big box store building. Did they ever have anything where they said there was things going on there? Did we hear anything like that?
Yeah, I think there were employees that said things were going on there.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go continue. I said someone had called in and said they were passing by that same location on the interstate at the exact moment they were listening to the story. Anyway, yes, that was the interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I have another one for everyone. I moved with my boyfriend who lives in a trailer in the deep country. He told me that it is a weird property. His family had owned it since the early 90s, and this was 2010. I'll save his reasons for saying it was weird because those are his stories. I was 21, so I was like, whatever. I did not think much of it. I was there for a while, nothing weird happening until 1 month. The way this trailer was laid out, when you walk in the door, you look to your right, and there was a bedroom. It did not have a door on it. Look to the left, and it was a living room kitchen. rest of the trailer. That does not really matter because they were not involved in the story. We slept in the bedroom without the door. From my spot on the bed, I could see through the living room into the kitchen. All of a sudden, several nights in a row, I would have these out-of-body experiences. I'd be floating above my resting body pretty high up because I could see the whole bed in the position I was lying in. I'd wake up in the exact same position that I had seen myself in. This happened for several nights. I never had these experiences before, and I've not had them since. My boyfriend would go to work, so naturally I was there alone. I'd hear coughs or someone clearing their throat. Sometimes I would hear someone talking like they were talking to me or asking a question. I would go to check it out because I thought my boyfriend was home and I was the only one there. Since we lived in the deep country, we didn't have a cell phone signal, so I'd have to wait to ask him if he might have to come back real quick. He literally worked right down the road on a farm and could have easily come home to grab a drink, snack, or tools. One day I was in the shower and I heard him clear his throat. I was not thinking about why I could hear it above the running water. Jumped out to see if he was home and go figure he was not. I went back and finished my shower. I hate being damp and putting on clothes, so I was standing there for a minute in my towel. I heard more throat clearing. I looked again and nothing. Went on the porch. The road we lived on was dead. We lived about a mile down or up the road, so our neighbors just accessed one end or the other and would not see or pass by our place. So I was able to quickly run out there with just my towel to see maybe he was just leaving. Just me around, of course. I went back to the bathroom and was just standing there brushing my hair. All of a sudden, something touched the small of my back or top of my butt gently, but compassionately. I whipped around quickly and nothing was there. I know what muscle spasms feel like, and this was no muscle spasm. I told him when he came home and he was like, "I told you this place was weird." Growing up hearing ghost stories, I'm a believer in ghosts. I do not really want to welcome experiences, but I don't mind experiencing the non-scary ones. This creeped me out, but that was it. So I just went with it. For a while after that, when I took a shower, I would sense someone or something staring at me when my back was facing the shower curtain or the entrance to the bathroom. I'd look every time and it would only be me. He would announce himself when he came into the bathroom anyway. Like I said, this all happened in about the span of a month. Other minor things happened. We would leave and things were sitting on the counter or the chair would be on the floor, right side up. We play board games, so one time we had rolled the dice and one of them landed, comfortably landed. I'm talking, was not still teetering or anything. Stayed still for about 30 to 45 seconds, then flipped to a new number. We did not live near a train track. No plane flight paths. Earthquakes were uncommon around that area. So the earth and atmosphere should still have been completely still. Now, the real reason I'm writing this one today, my numbers are going to look like poop at work today, but I don't care. I need to share the story. As I said, from where I slept, I could see through the living room and the kitchen. One night I was lying there trying to go to sleep and was staring into the blackness of the living room. I felt like something was there, close to the opening of the kitchen. I was scared. So I just put the blanket over my face and prayed that I could fall asleep and the thing would not try to get me. Next night, the same thing, only it felt a couple steps closer. Same thing the next night and the next. The next night after these, I felt like it was on the couch waiting. I knew if I walked in there, it would get me or something would happen. I felt this with every fiber of my body. If I went in there, went past the couch, it would not end well. If I went in there and looked over, I would see the skeletal black creature, a being, as it would get me. Just to give a better description, almost like a gargoyle, slightly bigger, skinnier, like a void of blackness and a face that's more sinister. Again, I pulled the blanket up, praying for sleep and safety. The last night this happened, I also had my last out-of-body experience. I was floating there watching this hag pull me off the bed, head first. I was struggling and thrashing as much as I could, but it was hard to move. I knew if I got pulled all the way off the bed, it would not end well. I was picturing if this thing pulled me off the bed, I was going to get dragged to the pits of hell. I needed to wake up. Finally, I woke up and most of my body was off the bed, head first, my legs being the only thing that was left on the bed. The rest of my body was on the floor, head lying directly on the vent that was towards the bottom of the bed. I woke my boyfriend up and told him. He let me know he did not feel me struggling or he would have helped. We stayed awake for the rest of the night. He did end up telling me that I would just start screaming in my sleep. A type of scream that sounded like I was being beaten or killed. A blood-curdling scream at the top of my lungs. After that night, I placed a Bible under my pillow, under his, and on our nightstand. For the rest of the time in that trailer, I did not experience anything like that, out of body or even the minor oddities. He told me I do not scream in my sleep either. We've moved several times since then, and I always have a Bible under our pillow, or at least on the nightstands. I love the show, not an EPP, because I do not get a chance to listen as much as I would like, as much as I previously could at the time of writing this. I just got finished up with the Halloween episode of 2018. I don't know if you'll read the story, and if you do, I'll probably not hear it till about 2022.
I almost wonder, at first it sounded like this ghost was trying to almost be polite and letting itself be known that it's in the bathroom. Although, why does a ghost need to go in the bathroom? But, you know, kind of like, I'm here, just letting you know. But then the whole, I'm going to start touching you, that, you know, now it's a creeper ghost. So, I don't really know. I think it's just the ghost of somebody that maybe used to live there on the land or whatever.
And he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Doing his thing. Not like a ton of intent. Just like, oh, person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why, if you are a ghost, but we do hear a lot of things where they come out of the bathroom. Is it because of the water?
I guess so.
Being the conduit?
Yeah. I mean, they almost like this one almost coughed like she's in the shower and he needs to use the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
But we know ghosts don't need to use the toilet.
Or do we?
I don't think we've ever had a story of a ghost that takes a shit. So
we haven't. Yeah, that would be an interesting one, though.
Yeah, we've had a farting ghost.
We have.
But we've not had a ghost that uses.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be great?
No, it would not. It would not.
That's like one that I can certainly say we have never had. And it's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to go, what's one like you've never heard before? Like, I don't know. That would be one where it's like you get into the bathroom and it's like Shart City. But you know it wasn't you and it wasn't anyone in your house.
Yeah.
And it just keeps happening.
Mm-hmm.
How would you handle such a thing?
I don't know. I would probably hide the spicy food.
Could you sage the toilet? I mean,
I don't know.
It's a concept. It could happen.
Yeah, it's a concept. I don't know what I would do.
So, thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. At Real Ghost Stories Online. So I was talking in my sleep.
You were.
The other day. You want to share the story?
So it's like 6 a.m. and I'm starting to kind of just wake up, but I want to lay there and go back to sleep. But I keep hearing this noise, and he's usually extremely quiet when he has a CPAP machine on, mm-hmm. which, you know, was the point of the CPAP machine. But all of a sudden I hear this really weird bitch. And I'm laying there thinking, did he just say bitch or bitches? And I hear it again, bitches. What the fuck is going on? So I don't wake you up right then, but I wait till you wake up and I'm like, did you have a nightmare or are you mad at me or what? Because you were saying bitches in your sleep.
Uh-huh.
And usually when he would talk in your sleep, it's inaudible. I can't tell what you're saying. But this was clear. And it was like Darth Vader was laying next to me saying, bitches.
Bitches.
Yep.
No, I dreamt I was at a Chuck E. Cheese, which makes it even more like, what? I dreamt we were
dreamt.
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 It's not dreamt.
It's not dreamt. Look it up.
I've always said trumped.
I know. You make words up.
I learned something new today. I dreamt I was at a Chuck E. Cheese or something like it. And there, our little one was in the play, like, you know, ball tank, you know, big thing. And there was all these like really like high school kids going in and like hurting the little kids and like freaking them out and scaring them. And I was trying to get the staff. And for some reason in my dream, the staff were wearing like these bright green shirts and like a green, like almost like hamburger stand hat. I don't know why, but
okay.
This is what I distinctly remember. And I was trying to convince the staff or the manager to get the bigger kids out. And so I was, and it got to the point where I was like cursing at him. I'm like, get these bitches out of here. and that's, I guess, what came through the CPAP was bitches, as I was so angry that these kids are being tormented by the high school kids.
At the Chuck E. Cheese.
At the Chuck E. Cheese.
It all goes back to Chuck E. Cheese.
You know, I hated that when I was a kid. And you go into the play thing, and there'd always be like one older kid that shouldn't be in there that was just being an ass to the little kids.
Then you just yell at you peed, and they get out.
I never thought of that.
Then you go, I peed.
Did you ever do that?
Yeah.
Seriously?
At McDonald's, you do it. You do it in the ball pit at McDonald's. You yell, I peed. And then all the kids go running, and then you have the whole thing to yourself. But you do it like you're crying, like you're upset, like you didn't mean to. Because, you know, when you're six, you obviously shouldn't be peeing in the ball pit. But the kids go away.
That's like the new... That's a whole new thing I just learned. So... You weren't just scaring off the older, you were scaring off every kid.
I wanted everybody out of the ball pit. It was my ball pit. Nobody wants to be in there when somebody yells they peed.
And it worked.
Uh-huh.
Is this like a frequent thing? Like, there's Jenny again. She's over in the ball pit by herself.
Did it till I was told not to do it anymore. Because it's a lot of work for the McDonald's people when they think a kid has really peed in the ball pit. They have to clean everything.
Yeah, they gotta like shut the whole thing down.
But then when you tell them that you really didn't pee, they don't believe you. So they have to shut it down.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So then you're creating all this work. They're okay. I love that story. That's a Jenny classic.
Okay.
Right there. Wow. Well, we'll be seeing memes about that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Okay, well, we get double excitement today because now we get to go to a caller. This is someone, and she'll kind of reference what it was. But do you remember early on we had a woman who we thought was doing dishes?
Yeah.
And
then we were really, really concerned when her friend called in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because her friend called in and said she was acting very strange, almost like possessed or something.
Mm-hmm.
And very distant. I think there was some sort of troubles going on in her life at that moment in time. I don't recall what. But it was this noise, and it sounded like she was putting dishes away, clear as day. And it turned out she was doing nothing at all, but this was something that happened to her repeatedly throughout her life when she tries to communicate or just use electronic devices. And she touches on it here on the call. And she also asks about Cisco, and Cisco will, like I said, we talked about Cisco earlier.
So we seriously have the real life dish lady. And I apologize because I don't remember her name.
Sure.
And I hate to call her dish lady. Okay.
So we've been talking about you for years. Here we go.
Okay, so you guys might not remember me. I called back in about 2013, early 2014. And before I get into that, I have a quick question. And please don't tell me I'm the only one who realized this or I missed something catching up on my episodes. But what the hell happened to Cisco? Like, one day she's there all the time and the next she's gone. I don't know if I missed something or what. But anyways, you guys probably don't remember me calling because you couldn't hear me. When I called, you guys said that it sounded like I was at work or there was metal clomping around. That's how it's been for me my entire life. As long as I can remember being on phones, it didn't used to be as bad, but the older I got, the worse it got. At one point I couldn't even use any electronics. Everything would break. The screens would just stop working on everything. Batteries would drain. I couldn't use remotes, TVs, especially cell phones. But anyways, let me hurry up and get to my story before I have to go back into work. But I'm so excited that I just get to call in now. But anyways, my story started when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was downstairs in my grandma's basement, and I happened to find a trunk in the back corner that was super, super antique. It was passed down for generations and generations. Eventually, I will get it, which I don't want it, but I will end up getting it. But I was downstairs playing, and I got into this trunk that had old antique toys in it as well. And my grandma said that she could hear me stop playing, and she couldn't hear me anymore. And so she started to walk down the stairs, and she said that she could hear me talking to somebody. And she heard me kept saying names, and then finally asked me who I was talking to. And I had told her that I was talking to a girl named Ashley, a girl named Kirsten, and a boy. Now, there's a little mix-up with the names because she will tell me at one point I said Bob, and at one point I said Thomas. So this is all from her memory. I don't really remember much of this. I remember tiny bits and pieces. But she asked me what they were talking to me about, and I told her the girls were talking to me about my toys. You know, they were a little bit older dressed from what I can remember, but not too old. And then Bob or Thomas, I told her that he was telling me to do mean things and hurt people and to get rid of Ashley and Kirsten. And I didn't really want to do that from what my grandma said, because I started to get upset about it. And then I guess I just kept playing with my toys and completely ignored her, and she went upstairs. She had told me this story a couple of times growing up, but I mean, we really started to talk about it when I started telling her more of what's been going on. But yeah, that's my first story. I will call in, and this has literally been happening from the time I was 5 up until last year, 2019, when I turned 26. So again, I will call in later, and thank you guys so much for doing this. This is so helpful during this crap of a quarantine. Thank you.
Well, it sounds like she's back to being okay.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Yeah. She was one I always wondered about, where you get stories and it got kind of dark and it was like, then the drops off and you don't hear anything again.
I think she's a slider, which we haven't talked about sliders in a long time. Mm-hmm. Those are people that naturally have an interference with electronics and anything basically that has an electric current. Mm-hmm. They affect the current, whether they're touching it or not, or just walking by. They'll walk under street lights and the street light will go out, or watches won't ever work, mm-hmm. you know, on their body. Things like that. The way she keeps having interference with electronics, I would say she's a slider.
Yeah. It's interesting. I would love to hear more if she can update us on what some of the things happened after her initial call to us all those years ago in like 2014, where things, you know, got kind of rough, how she kind of came out of that, because that was really, it was a strange set of events.
Yeah.
And I've brought that up many times over the years as some of the stranger calls that we've ever received on the program. But yeah, well, it's good to hear an update there.
I never thought we'd ever hear from Dish Lady again, because I thought, for one, she's going to think we're assholes.
Yeah.
But two, you know, knowing that her friend had called in saying that, you know, she wasn't doing well, mm-hmm. which, who knows, could have been a friend, could have been somebody just embellishing the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that she's doing well.
Yeah. Thank you for the update and for your new story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and do that, or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of the bonus materials, with new stuff for you every single week. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK Killer, the New London School Explosion, Amityville Murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum Disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today, and stay safe out there.